It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a psychologist about a new poll showing that almost half of all Americans have experienced a stressful event in the last year.
First, Wisconsin is a fertile ground for writers, from Nicholas Butler's Shotgun Love Songs to Susan Gloss's first novel, Vintage. Stories from and about Wisconsin just keep on coming. Our next guest spent her childhood summers near Waupaca. While other families vacationed and kicked back there, her family ran its own mini golf course called Tom Thumb.
That course was a labor of love that only got more precious when the family was forced to sell because of rising property taxes.
June Melby joins us now. She's a former stand-up comedian turned writer whose work has appeared in McSweeney's and Utney Reader. Her new memoir tells a story of what it was like growing up, in a sense, on the Tom Thumb golf course in Wisconsin. Her book is called My Family and Other Hazards. June, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So Tom Thumb was the name of your family's mini golf course in Wisconsin. When did you realize that you were really going to miss it when it was gone?
Oh, man. You know, we knew it was inevitable that sometime it would have to go. I think most people realize at some point their family home will no longer be their family home. But it really wasn't until I heard the news that it just hit me like a ton of bricks, as they say. I was devastated. I really didn't want to let it go.
And you had your home. Your family lived in Iowa. Your parents were school teachers. But your parents, along the way, acquired this mini golf course in Wisconsin. Can you describe it for us? What was it like?
Well, it was really unusual because it was built in basically a large backyard. So there was a cottage on a street, or rather road, that had a lot of cottages, and there was some extra land, and the school teacher just built it there. So it wasn't on what you normally picture as a place you'd find a miniature golf course. It was on a lake. There were no other businesses around. There was no golf carts. There was no water slides. It was just cottages, 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 a miniature golf course. And so it was really wild. People were drawn to it. Especially when we turned the lights on at night, it was like lit up like Christmas and like moths to a flame. People were sucked in from all over the area to hang out there.
And this was in Waupaca?
This is Waupaca.
Well, it's not every family that has their own mini golf course.
No. What a funny thing.
What is the backstory about how you guys ended up owning one?
Oh, man, it's kind of on a whim. My parents have always said, it just fell into our laps. Most school teachers in those days, and maybe still today, took jobs in the summertime because they needed to make some extra money. And we were just visiting the area. My grandparents lived in the area. And we played mini golf once every summer when we visited my grandparents. And then one year, there was a for sale sign. And they thought nothing of it. The next year, the for sale sign was still there. And then my dad went, I wonder what would happen if we did this instead of my selling encyclopedias door-to-door, which he was never very good at.
Well, at first, you and your sisters, you've got two sisters, you thought this was going to be fun and games, free golf every day, but the reality turned out to be pretty different than that. What was that very first day opening Tom Thumb like for your family?
Oh, man. The first day, well, that is the first chapter. I have a whole chapter about the first day because it was just really, you know, hilariously traumatic in a way. You know, it's, you know, every family, when every family gets together Thanksgiving or Christmas, you have a story you tell about the uncle who fell off the roof of the barn or the time the car got stuck in the snow. The story that my family tells is about the first day because we didn't know what we were doing. We thought we were going to get set up and be open to business at 9:10 in the morning. At 6 p.m. that night, our parking lot was still full of tourists trying to play mini golf, and we were running around trying to put it together. It was really wild to be stared at by people who are really unhappy with you, and you don't, you know, how does the windmill go together? We're missing a piece for the castle doors. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, what goes into putting a mini golf course together after the winter?
Well, as you know, Wisconsin has a winter. You can't leave everything outside all year round. So everything goes into the garage in September, and then everything has to come back out. And the hazards come apart in minimally two pieces. My dad had this thing of where he liked to complicate things. So he made a new hazard. It was a gumball machine. You just put through it. There was no moving parts on that one. And that was seven pieces. So I had seven different pieces to give. So, and we had, unlike most mini golf courses, there were six hazards that had moving parts, like a motor that open and close doors. So getting those set up was time consuming. It was, you know, the whole place was really, I don't know how to put it. It probably should be in a museum, you know, some kind of folk art museum. It was all a labor of love, handmade, so things fell apart, but were lovingly, strangely intricate.
And you and your sisters, you had to pitch in. You were full partners in this golf course with your family. What kinds of jobs did you have to do over the summer?
Oh, what kind of jobs didn't we do? I waited on my first customers at age 10, and I didn't think anything of it. It was just, oh, that's what I'm going to do now. And we didn't have a cash register that made change. You just did it in your head and made change with the money in the fishing tackle box. It's all very low-tech. But we, you know, it's funny because, you know, we were a family of very different people. Each of us was so different from each other. And, of course, there's some clashes and not too many conflicts, but, you know, there's tension. And then, you know, a bus pulled in, and there's 50 Boy Scouts age 10 swarming the place. And so, you know, suddenly everybody forgets what we were thinking about or complaining about before. And I can only compare it to, like, a swarm of locusts. You know, okay, someone's instead of boarding up the windows, I'm taking the ticket booth, I'll grab the snack shack, we'll load up the pop machine and try to survive.
Yeah, this was your summer. Every summer, other kids were having, I don't know, summers at home, going on vacations. You guys were running a golf course, but it sounds like there were some perks. There was Wisconsin itself, and, you know, you learned the secret to perfect snow cones, for instance. What did you love best about those Wisconsin summers?
Oh, you know what I think? What's funny is that we were working so that other people could have fun. And when you're a kid, that's really irritating. I mean, that's really, really irritating because we couldn't leave to go camping. Or, you know, anyone who with a small business knows, how do you ever get away? And if the business is in your backyard, you know, it's impossible. But then as I grew older, I realized, you know, it was really kind of awesome to have people having so much fun in the yard. You know, you hear them laughing all the time. You know, in the house, you know, if you sleep too late, you hear people outside laughing to wake you up in the morning. And it was kind of, I don't know, I really came to appreciate that. You know, it wasn't like a dentist office, I'll tell you that. People were very happy to be there.
Why did your parents end up selling it?
Well, they got older, you know, and it's a lot of work. You know, 12 hours a day, 10 to 10, 7 days a week all summer. And just became too much. And none of us, myself or my sisters and I, could take it over. So it was a little bit like a family farm. It's like, who's going to take it over? Who can take it over? Who's willing to work that hard? So they had to.
Well, you tell the story of this family golf course in your new book. And it's interesting because in the book, you're not really on track to become a writer for most of this book. You were a stand-up comedian in Los Angeles. When did you realize that you were a writer and that this was one of your core stories?
Well, you know, funny, I was never really that person who thinks I'm a writer. Oh, you know, I'm going to be a writer at an early age. I kind of always knew it was a story that needed to be told, but I kind of hoped someone else would do it for me. You know, I pictured myself, you know, spooning on a couch somewhere, one hand on my forehead, telling them, and then my mom washed the money in the washing machine, and someone else would write it down for me. But, of course, you get old and you realize no one's going to tell your story for you. You got to just buck up and figure out how to do it yourself.
This was emotional territory for you. I mean, it was fun, too, but it was also emotional. What was it like writing about the things that you love so much, your family and Tom Thumb?
Oh, you know, it was kind of like the book itself, there's times when I was really laughing and having a lot of fun. I mean, I got to write about summer. You know, this last winter, you know how dreadful it was. I got to spend a good part of every day just completely enveloped in a Wisconsin summer. You know, that's not a bad job. That is not a bad job. Remind me never to write a book about winter. You know, why would you want to do that? But, of course, it's very, you know, in order to have the kind of energy it takes to finish a book and then all the revisions and then all the edits and then the copy edits, you've got to have something you really need to be saying. You've got to be driven by that internal need to get it out there. And, of course, yeah, it was emotional. It was hard to realize, you know, I always thought I'd be a big whopping success and then I could afford to buy the mini golf course from my parents so they could retire in luxury, you know. So I had to really come to terms with the fact that I felt rather poopy. It wasn't life. So the only thing I could do was write a book about it. That's all I could offer them.
Did it make you feel like even though your family lost Tom Thumb, your parents made a profit, but they had to give it up, did you end up feeling like it was preserved in a way because of your book?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yeah, you know what? I don't think I thought that way while I was writing it, but now I kind of do. Like, somehow, you know, the book is in a way, it's not like a photo album, because it's got parts that are angry. We don't get in a family photo album, and there's parts that are, I don't know, saying the things that you wouldn't admit in a photo album. But, yeah, I kind of feel like I did capture it in that book. So that makes me happy. I think that's why it took me the years that it took to write it, because I really, really wanted to do the best I could to capture it. The good and the bad of it, you know, the struggle and also the crazy tourists with their beer hats and their soggy money and their swim shorts, you know, half-naked people wandering your yard. It was pretty wild.
June, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
That was June Melby. She is a former stand-up comedian turned writer whose work has appeared in McSweeney's and The Utney Reader. Her new memoir is called My Family and Other Hazards. And as of the book's printing, Tom Thumb is up for sale again.